one, it's a good career. Two, you can make some great money. You can meet some great people and you can learn an awful lot. And you always, always have that opportunity to go back to school.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Nailed It, a podcast powered by Parker Huggett.
So thank you for being here, Graham, on episode one of Nailed It. I'm your host, Matt Trainer from Parker Huggett. As you know, and we've chatted about and connected today, we're looking to speak with industry leaders in construction development here in Canada. And we will be speaking with Graham today about some of his major successes, lessons learned, and industry insights. My relationship with Graham has spanned over the last 5+ years. We've known each other in the local construction industry and have become friends along the way. He's worked for some major GCs on some sizable projects, brings a lot of leadership project experience to the table. Fun fact, he's also a touring musician, published musician. A little bit about myself, I've been connecting the best professionals to the best companies in construction development for the last 16 years, otherwise known as a headhunter or whatever the swear word is these days. And Graham, welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your industry experience and share with the viewers.
Well, thanks, Matt. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me. It's an honor and it's great to have known you for, although a short time, it's been a good relationship. My experience spans back 40 years. I worked for a company called Combustion Engineering. My dad started the Canadian division and they worked on nuclear reactors and paper mills and things like that. I worked on the shop floor. I started out as a laborer, then I became a welder. Then I decided to go back to school. I got an engineering degree. I did some stuff in between that and eventually get back into construction again with some notable companies like Ellis Don and a few others, some big guys. I've been fortunate in my career that all the jobs that I've worked on have been very large projects, anywhere from $500 million up to $2 billion. Now I'm a senior manager for a large company, and I run all the mechanical and electrical for that company. And we oversee the GC. We work closely with our clients. So we're the direct client representative. So I've been doing it for a long time. It's been a great career. I love it. I love that how busy it is and the fast pace and making the decisions and reaping the fruits of those decisions when everything comes to fruition. So it's great. It's a great career path.
Amazing. I'm sure you have a lot of them throughout your career. What would you say is maybe your top two major successes that you've professionally enjoyed throughout your career? And what would you say was a lesson learned that maybe you pulled from your past that allowed that success to happen?
I think the biggest success, and I think a lot of people say this, is that when the project is completed, the client moves in and everybody's happy and you've delivered a product that not only you can be proud of, but the client is proud of, the engineers are proud of, and all the guys right down to the laborers and the administration staff are proud of. That's a great feeling at the end of a project. I love kicking off projects and being good. But what has helped me an awful lot is I kind of took a different path, starting as a laborer on a shop floor, then becoming a welder, then eventually going to school. That experience working on the shop floor, understanding how things are manufactured and how things are put together and doing all the assemblies. And then from that, I worked for an engineering firm in my hometown. And with that, I garnered that experience when I was designing process piping and other things, that I knew what the people in the shop or out in the field would be looking for. Mm-hmm. And when you know that, your designs can become better because you know the obstacles that people are going to run into on site. So that's helped an awful lot. And then when you're working with some great people or you've hired some good people or great people and you can mold them and then you see the excitement in their face that wants them to just keep succeeding and be better and better and every day and advance in their career. That makes me get up in the morning and come to work every day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Would you recommend, professionals get that site experience in addition to their design experience, as they develop as a professional?
Yeah, I definitely would. Doesn't mean that they have to go be a welder or a laborer. I mean, I've known guys that used to be electricians that became engineers or pipe fitters or fabricators that have gone on. And they all say, we believe that every engineer should have experience out in the field building something. So when it comes their time to design, they can bypass those obstacles that they know they're going to hit. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you have to go do it for 20 years, but if you go out and do it for a couple of years, and if you're shadowing something or someone or anything like that, you get to see that we can't build this system like that. We can't mm-hmm. run these pipes through this area, or we can't do this. We can't. And it just saves a lot of time, a lot of headaches. And then you're coming out with a good, proper design that when it gets in the hands of the trades, there's less complaints. You know, you hear the common misconception, these engineers don't know nothing. Well, it's not they don't know nothing. Is they just sometimes don't grab the concept of being stuck in a small space, trying to put in a square ball into a round peg kind of thing. It's and that experience really helps an awful lot. It's helped me a lot. And it helps an awful lot when you're in meetings and you're troubleshooting, because I'll have meetings with the CM, and I'll have meetings with the trades, and I'll have meeting with a client and the engineers. And when you can react fast, saying, we can't do this this way, and here's why. Here's a suggestion. Take this suggestion. Use it if you want. But I believe there's going to be troubles down the road. And if we can nip this in the bud now and resolve this issue before it gets on paper or before it gets to the trades, we just save everybody a lot of time, a lot of cost overruns, a lot of headaches, mm-hmm. and then changes. And those changes rack up. So mm-hmm. that experience, I think, is invaluable if they have the opportunity to get it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And from your perspective, what do you think the general contracting world does really well here in Canada, or Ontario for that matter? And from your perspective as well, like, what do you think is the biggest challenge ahead for our industry?
I think the GCs bring such a wealth of knowledge that it's invaluable when you're seeking to have a GC come in and run your job. They are aggressively trying to promote young people to come into trades, which I think is wonderful. I started in the trades. It's great. I think that's really good. Some of the challenges is we're having in the future, we're having them now, is finding people that want to get into the trades, or finding people that want to get off their computer and get involved. And I think it's getting more and more. You can say to some people now, can you draw me this on a sheet of paper in front of me? Well, no, I need AutoCAD or I need BIM. Those are beautiful tools and they help an awful lot and they're wonderful. But those rudimentary skills of drafting or welding a plate together, I'm seeing those trades dissipating. Now, mm-hmm. these people, you could tell that the young guys or girls that are coming into it or want to get into it or maybe are on the fence, that one, it's a good career. Two, you can make some great money. You can meet some great people and you can learn an awful lot. And you always, always have that opportunity to go back to school, whether you mm-hmm. leave your job and go to school or you do your school online at night, whatever, you always have that opportunity. So if you've got all this experience and think your value is more on the design side where you want to be an engineer or a project manager and get your PMP, mm-hmm. those opportunities are there. But get that core and entice the younger kids in coming from high school that this is a great career path. And if you mm-hmm. drive around my town, which is not that big, all the guys mm-hmm. I went to, not all of them, but a lot of them that I went to high school with went into trades because that was the thing to do. And they all have their own companies now. And they're all making really good money and driving fancy cars and fancy boats. So mm-hmm. trades are really good, really good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's great that you said that. And really, one of the avenues of this podcast is to promote getting into construction development. You know, as we talked about before, is with everybody retiring in the next 7 years, not everybody, but at least 48% of the industry retiring. You know, when you live in some of these bigger cities like Toronto, and having grown up in the GTA, they talk about becoming a doctor, they talk about becoming a pharmacist, whatever. And those are all great positions. But, you know, when people are starting to make 50, 150 bucks an hour and having this reward of craft and building with their hands or conceptualizing a building, something that has legacy attached to it, I don't know, it seems pretty sexy to me.
Yeah, and I think it is. And I'll tell you what, the doctor and the accountant and the lawyer and those guys, the first person they're going to call when there's a problem is a trade guy to come and fix it. And they're going to pay them $150 to fix their plumbing or build a home. I mean,
yeah.
If you like the outdoors or you like this type of work, it's a great career path. I went to St. Lawrence College and I took fabrication and welding when I was young. There was such a drive on trades, auto mechanics, welding, drafting, millwrights, machinists. They were pumping people out. And at the time, like anything else, we were going through a little bit of a recession. Getting a job mm-hmm. was a little bit harder. But once it kicked in, everybody was employed because they had mm-hmm. that skill set. there's a lot of engineers that are graduating right now. And I'm not saying doing engineering is bad, because it's not. But a lot of engineers are graduating and they can't find work. Mm. They can't find work on the design side. They turn to the PM side, which is good. But then you're coming in as a PM with no experience if you're going to do what I do, mechanical, electrical. If you don't have that experience becoming a PM, you're going to have a hard time. There's a big learning curve. But if you have the trade background like I did when you come in, it's a lot easier and there's good money to be made and it's a great rewarding career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know for sure. And I think this is a really great insight, Graham, and I appreciate you taking the time to chat about the industry and sharing your experience. And I guess question for you, how do you balance the life of being a touring musician and delivering these marquee projects?
Yeah, that's the big question. Before it was, when I was younger, it was working day and night, weekends. I used to tour a lot all over the world and still have a day job. And it takes its toll on you now. I mean, I'm only doing about 5 shows a year. I mean, there's still big concerts, but 5 is enough for me now. I'm more interested in what I do today than the music side. Yeah, the music side, I was fortunate enough. It was a passion that I had the ability. I hit a market niche that allowed me to make really good money. It allowed me to tour the world. It allowed me to expel that creative passion I have for writing music and songs. I learned an awful lot about business, dealing with record companies, managements, and agents. And I use it today, every day in business, how to handle people, how to talk to people, when to hold your temper in or when to force your point. I learned a lot of that from music and other things. But now it's just tone it down. You're getting older. You're not a big rock star anymore. I got to grow up. So,
yeah. Well, I got to say, it's pretty amazing. It's certainly, from my experience, that was definitely a dream for me growing up. So I live vicariously through you.
Yeah. My father always said to me, I used to tell him when I was younger, Dad, I just want to play music. I just want to play it. He goes, that's great, Graham, but you got to pay bills. And some musicians, if you look at all the guys that are buying guitars in your hometown, could be thousands, not all of them, if any, are going to make good money.
Yeah.
You've got to get yourself either a trade or a really good education where you can support your family. Mm-hmm, and thankfully, I listened to him. And then opportunity knocked. And it was like I had a choice to make. Do I continue to do what I do, or I try and go after my dream? And I went after my dream. And I had a supportive wife and supportive kids. And they let me do it. It doesn't work for everybody. I saw a lot of guys fall off the rails. But I was fortunate that I always had something to fall back on if I didn't succeed. So it was nice to follow the dream.